I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning and welcome in live from Jammin' Java in Vienna. Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye. Grant and Danny's live on the road on 106.7 The Fan. Nice buzz in the building. All the seating is set up. We are putting together the final finishing touches on the venue for what will be a wonderful afternoon here on 106.7 The Fan. Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins taking fan questions and coming back from Michigan. He had kicked off his offseason by traveling. He's coming back last night into this morning to spend some time with fans, raise money for charity, and to give some analysis, some commentary, not only on his season, but on his future, and to answer questions about whether or not he will be with the Washington Redskins beyond the 2017 season.
There are two interested parties here. And party number one is the Cousins side. Party number two, of course, is the Redskins side. So be that Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, Eric Schaefer, Scott Campbell, whomever, the decision makers over in Ashburn. There's a lot of people that would pay an awful lot to figure out what's in the respective parties' minds. Meaning, what are you thinking at this stage? We have access and we have a relationship, of course, with Kirk, and we've been able to hear from him directly over the course of these years. So once a contract didn't get done last year, why? We had an event where he wanted to share directly, of course, with us and with fans. We've talked about, you know, what it would have taken, et cetera, et cetera. He said last year he wasn't at peace with signing. That's an insight into his mind. Today, again, that kind of direct access. So while I know there's a degree, and I'm being frank here, there's a degree of cynicism among folks that say, he's not going to say anything. I tell you this, he said things in the past that have been A, absolutely newsworthy, B, have been very revealing, and this is the venue and this is the outlet for it. At a place, by the way, I love coming to and love performing at. We're here at Jammin' Java in Vienna. It's a great venue.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day. So a couple of things. First, I would say that I don't anticipate him doing anything that will be damaging of his relationship with the Redskins. He's just not that kind of guy.
Right.
He has spent 6 years in Washington as a first-class citizen who has said everything basically that the team would have wanted him to say. I think he can be honest and forthright without being in any way damaging to his relationship to the team, and I don't think it's good business for him going into the offseason ahead to say anything that is anti-Redskins, anti-ownership, anti-Jay Gruden in any way. So I don't know that there's going to be any major negative headlines in that regard. The things that I'm more curious about are, will Kirk Cousins today either say outright or allude to the fact that he wants to test the market? Does he want to hit free agency, transitional free agency, or true free agency for the first time this offseason? Does he want an opportunity to land either back in Washington or with another team on a long-term contract? Will he negotiate a long-term deal this year, or will he continue to play the one-year-at-a-time game that the Redskins have kind of manipulated him into and he's very fine with over the last couple seasons?
So on one end of the spectrum is Bill Belichick saying, we're on to Cincinnati, right? That's the least bit of revealing information. The other end of the spectrum is LeBron James to Jim Gray, saying, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. Just because this isn't LeBron James dropping a bombshell and a middle finger to the city of Cleveland doesn't mean this isn't a tremendously worthwhile exercise, is my point. You are going to get information today that we did not have before. Will it be the exact thing you ordered? If you ordered your filet medium, you might get a sirloin medium rare. It's still going to be a piece of meat you're going to be able to chew on. Headlines will be made from this event today, and that's something I can't stress enough. We talked about this, you and me, when we went on with Eric and Jason and the Junkies this morning. He really is wired differently. The rest of society kind of goes around, whether it's cynical, looking for what's the real truth behind something. He wears it on his sleeve, and he may be so smart in terms of diplomacy, in terms of not saying anything negative, but he's also not a negative guy. He's not walking around holding grudges against people. He's not walking around ticked off, chip on a shoulder. He doesn't get motivated the same way that, you know, Michael Jordan did or Tom Brady did, where someone slighted them and that they use that as fuel every day of their lives for 40 years. He's not wired that way. He's wired a different way. He's been open and honest about that throughout the process. And some people kind of roll their eyes when he talks about, you know, his faith led him to a certain place, or his, he wasn't at peace with something and he's trying to pray on it. That really is genuinely who he is. And that's something that I think a lot of folks, you know, aren't used to, but B, you're going to find that revealing today, I think.
This event, too, is interesting because I know that the general way to go about the end of a season for a player would be just answer questions from the media, and then you kind of go into your off season and you go train wherever it is that you're going to be, in Atlanta or in Michigan, and we'll see you again around OTAs or as kind of news trickles out. I think he knew, though, as we talked about with the junks this morning, there's a lot of people that want to ask me questions, and there are a lot of answers that people are going to want to hear. The people that I want to talk to directly are the fans.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get to do that? Do I take to social media and just tweet out answers? Or
put a note on your phone and take a screen cap of it?
Exactly.
Do that?
Do I utilize this platform that is provided by our radio station, where he's been on our air every single week after every single game for the last three seasons? And we have an event like we did before the season started where very directly people can ask him questions. And then he thinks, well, is there a charity function here? Is there a way we can raise money for people who need it? So I think it's a cool thing. I know that a lot of people will say that this is odd, that it's different. It is certainly different.
It is different.
There is no denying that. But I think he wanted to raise some money. We're happy to be a part of this day, and we will ask all the questions that need to be asked. That is the promise I can make you. You can tweet us throughout the show, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, if you'd like. But we will be asking the tough questions. We'll be asking the important questions. This is not just an opportunity where Cousins is going to come here and we're going to talk about pizza. That is not the plan today. Mm-hmm. We are going to get to the bottom of and take out a shovel on some of the real integral and important questions that need to be answered. I'm curious, by the way, over in Ashburn, how closely they're paying attention to this today. My guess is Jay Gruden's going to find a radio at noon, and some of the front office executives with Washington are going to pay very close attention to what he's saying as well.
It's not going to be like that Chad Dukes promo where he's like, no, Chad, I was up playing golf. Shot a great round. You know, it's not going to be like that.
No. So I think that if I'm Bruce Allen or I'm Dan Snyder, this in some way is the beginning of the negotiation from Cousins' side. I think the negotiation started for the team side when Jay Gruden, fairly inexplicably,
that's insightful, I think,
did not commend in any way the seasons that Cousins just had with his 27 touchdowns and his 13 interceptions. Jay was very obvious, honest.
I thought so.
And correct, probably, in his assessment that the team is 7-9 and we're all 7-9 in the building. That's true, including Jay and his entire staff. But after an entire year of being very complimentary of his quarterback, he was not that the day after the season. So that was the first chance for the team to kind of set the tone for, are you desperate to keep Cousins? Can you move on without Cousins? Do you need Kirk Cousins to continue to win? This is Kirk Cousins' first chance with this platform now to respond. And one of the questions we will ask him this morning is, what did he think about what Jay Gruden said? I have a hard time believing he liked that commentary very much. And it was the foray into an offseason where they're going to be going back and forth, hopefully
we're
not
doing
publicly.
This again, yeah.
After this week, it'll all be private. But yeah, Jay's comments, you'll have Kirk's today to parse up.
And also remember, among a number of things that came out last year through our conversations with Kirk, there was they wanted to see more from me at one point. And that, by the way, was not an unreasonable position. I understand wanting to be cautious if you're going to commit years and basically the keys to the franchise and a lot of dollars to the most important position in sports. Reasonable approach, by the way. Now, when you see a certain thing, a certain set of criteria met, you need to pony up, and that's the thing the Redskins obviously failed to do. But I will say this, they said, we'd like to see more. And Kirk said, fine, I'll bet on myself the way I bet on myself coming out of high school, bet on myself coming out of Michigan State, and continue to bet on myself on these one-year deals. He said to us, he wanted to see more. He was evaluating now. I wonder what that evaluation tells you. I wonder what it tells you that 2,000-yard receivers are gone and they were replaced by inadequate players. I wonder, you know, when you let a number of guys walk away with the moves that they made or did make in the offseason, they carried over cap dollars. Instead of going out and paying Alshon Jeffrey, they paid Terrell Pryor for 1 year. It didn't work. You could do more things to support the guy. Does he feel like he was set up to succeed? I would say that an objective person would say no. He's still had a pretty darn good year. And if you look at the context surrounding, you'd say it was a great year, given the fact that they got worse at seven offensive positions. I understand that that rubs people the wrong way because it's about wins and losses, though, so to speak, and they didn't win enough games. You're right about that. I think that's more of a front office thing than it is the quarterback thing. If you look at this team and say the quarterback was the problem, I don't know what else I can do for you. I don't know what other information it's going to take for you to be part of our society. I really don't.
I just got a text from someone who asked me, did Cousins tell you guys that anything is off the table as far as what you can ask?
It's a good question.
No. We have gotten no guidelines. And by the way, you don't agree to do an interview like this if there are questions that you cannot ask, for the record.
Yep.
But just so we're all on the same page, there has been no guidance. There has been nothing asked of us to ask, nothing that we were told we couldn't ask. This is a platform for a couple hours today where we get to ask and get information on anything we want. And I think that's an important thing to know, is that when Kirk Cousins comes on stage today, not only will we get to ask whatever we want, but the people in the audience are going to be able to talk directly to the quarterback as well. I think that's one of the things people are most excited by. I know in talking to the local media, a few of the beat reporters who are around the team all the time who are coming to this event to cover it today, they said, I'm excited to see what the fans ask. I want to see how the back and forth between Cousins and the fans go more than what we ask. Because,
right.
I mean, I guess it's pretty well known. We've done interviews with them for 3 years. You kind of know how that's going to go.
You know what we think.
But players do not generally accommodate fans in this way because it can be very uncomfortable. And you're opening up a platform without much of a net for someone to come up here and say, hey, Kirk, you were terrible against the Giants. Does that mean that you should take less money? I mean, that could be a question
sure.
he has to answer today.
No filter.
Grant and Danny live at Jam and Java. We're just getting started. Cousins will be with us at noon. He will be with us for 2 hours from 12 to 2 today. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We are at Jam and Java in Vienna, and today's event is completely sold out. So if you don't have a ticket, don't bother coming down and trying to buy one at the door. There are no more seats available. Media is starting to set up, and we will have many of the reporters who cover the team and are around the team all year long on the show throughout our next 3 hours and 45 minutes or so. One of those reporters is our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman.
Craig.
Who joins us now on Grant and Danny. Top of the morning to you, buddy.
What's up? How are you guys?
Very well.
Good,
thanks for spending a few minutes with us. So I want to start with your take on the season Cousins just had. I think it would be naive to say that there were a handful of games where he could have been better, and there were a couple real stinkers, including the Chargers and the Giants.
Yeah.
Over the course of the body of work compared to the other quarterbacks around the league, how should we feel about his play on a one-year deal in 2017?
It's hard to answer simply. I think overall very good. I think he was on the way to very, very good before those, you know, what, two, three stinkers in the last 5 weeks. But I think the most important thing, like if I'm the Redskins trying to project forward, is I saw growth this year. I saw him do things that he had never done before. would you like to see more consistency? Yes. I think that's the next step, is him doing those things consistently. I think there's are areas where his ceiling can get a little bit higher, but I think he grew more from 16 to 17 than he did 15 to 16, and that makes me feel good about where he's at.
Ultimately, to me, this is a pretty simple story. If you remove the best weapons from nearly any quarterback, I say nearly, because you watch Aaron Rodgers have a down season where he throws for 30-some touchdowns and 4,000 yards and pulls plays out of his backside, or Tom Brady, who takes Jags and turns them into Pro Bowlers. There are a couple Hall of Famers among us, absolutely. For everybody else, if you remove Julio Jones from Matt Ryan, worse. You remove Antonio Brown from Ben Roethlisberger, worse. It goes down the line. You removed an awful lot this year.
Yeah.
5 unhealthy games of Jordan Reed, 2,000-yard receivers, inadequate replacements across the board. I don't get why not everybody just goes, yeah, so everybody got worse. The numbers got worse. The offense got worse. Why isn't that the story, and why is it why is it spun somewhere else?
Because it's quarterback in the NFL.
And that's
it. I don't have a better answer for you. It is, in a way, it's remarkably through for 4,000 yards again, where you have DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon out. You know, if Josh Doctson catches a couple extra balls, he's all of a sudden at like 4,400 yards. You know, if Ryan Grant catches a couple extra balls, if Jameson Crowder catches a couple extra balls, all that were good, then he's at 4,500, 4,600 yards for the year. And sure, it's not 4,900 he had last year, but you get, you know, 300 free yards a season because DeSean Jackson's faster than everybody else.
Right.
You know, if Chris Thompson stays healthy, maybe he breaks a few tackles that Capri Bibbs and Byron Marshall don't, or is able to get open in a way that those guys don't. There's a couple hundred extra yards. The talent around you matters for sure. And so the fact that he did produce at the, like, to me, the remarkable thing is the numbers stayed relatively consistent despite the talent around him going down. And to me, that's where you can really say, yes, he definitely grew this year.
And he said on our show, as a matter of fact, that he thought the narrative about him coming into the year was that in some ways, in the last couple of years, he produced at the level he did because Pierre Garçon's great, DeSean Jackson's great, Jordan Reed's great. And he thinks that he proved that he doesn't need those types of guys around him to still be a good NFL quarterback, which might be fair. My question to you is, you're a reporter, you ask good questions, you went to Syracuse, you're a real journalist.
At least I play one on the radio.
What's that?
At least I play one on the radio.
Yeah, well, that's true. You play it well. What, if you got to ask one question, or what is the question that if we don't ask it today, you're going to text someone afterwards and say, I'm disappointed in Grant and Danny?
Oh, man, that's good. Because I know you guys are going to ask, like, the obvious ones.
That's the thing, is there's so many big elephants in the room that'll be, like, tackled.
We were talking about this before the show. Like, the way I would attack this is because here's what happens when I meet a new human being. Hi, my name's Craig. My name's whatever. What do you do? Oh, I cover the Redskins. What's going to happen with Kirk?
Right.
It happens literally 90% of new humans I meet.
Well, not even new humans. For me, Christmas. I've seen relatives. Hey, how you doing? What's going to happen with Kirk?
Well, you know what's funny? We were at Super Bowl week, and whenever we would tell anyone we're from Washington, D.C. last year, the only thing, and it doesn't matter if it was just some random dude at a coffee shop in San Francisco, or it was one of the biggest media titans that we interviewed, they'd say, oh, what's your feel on the Cousins thing?
I've had everyone from new people that I met that say, oh, I don't really follow sports that much, to NFL Hall of Famers ask me this question.
The guy setting up the muffins for the buffet at the conference center.
I'm not
kidding. What a joke. He asked me, what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? He wanted to know.
Yeah, which is weird that he sounded like Charles Barkley, but that's a different story.
It was actually Charles Barkley.
It was Charles Barkley setting up the muffins.
I need resolution on Kirk Cousins.
So I know you guys are going to ask him some form of, like, what do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? So, like, I think if you don't ask about his relationship with the organization / the front office.
Yeah.
And that could get kind of awkward, but I think it has to be asked because there's a lot of stories out there, and we all know enough as people that are around this team that we know there at least has been some tension in the past with that relationship. And obviously some of it contractual, as you've reported Grant numerous times, or, you know, relayed numerous times. I guess you technically report it once. that he went to them in, what, 2015 with an offer that was fair. And they said, no, we're good. We need to see more. as a human being, as a competitor, as someone with an ego, even if Kirk has less of it than many other professional athletes, that has to matter. That affects the relationship moving forward. So I think if you guys don't ask about where he's at and his confidence and comfort level with that front office moving forward, I would say that's maybe a little less obvious, but matters.
Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter. We're on stage at Jam in Java. Doors are going to open for our event coming up in about a half hour, I believe. Kirk Cousins is on stage from noon to 2. You're listening to Grant and Danny. We are officially sold out, so if you don't have tickets, don't bother coming down.
Do not show
to
up.
To Vienna.
It's cold outside. You'll just be standing there.
Yes, you will. But we do appreciate everyone who does have tickets, who is coming. It's going to be a blast. And for those of you who are helping to make this a success and raise a lot of money for charity, we commend and thank all of you. I was talking to J.P. Finley yesterday.
Yep.
Maybe this is something we can kind of do in more long form in a few minutes. But we were texting back and forth as I was about to go see Jumanji.
Oh.
Which, by the way, I like Jumanji way more than I thought I would. Jumanji was actually really funny.
Wow.
Kevin Hart was great. The Rock was terrific. Jack Black is one of my favorite, most underrated comedic actors ever. Do you like Jack Black?
I do, actually.
Jack Black's hilarious.
I'm a Jack Black guy. He punched through the wall. So initially it was like, I get it. I'm pudgy. Like, it was fine. A lot of that. I got a little bored by it. And then he like kept knocking. He kept knocking on the door. Next thing you know.
What's your thoughts on Jumanji based on the trailer?
I said, no, stop doing it. There's no reason this chick looks like half Laura Croft, half Jurassic Park. It doesn't make any sense. The one note joke that Jack Black was a girl, now he's like a pudgy dude.
See, that ended up being a little bit more funny than you think it's going to.
The Rock says these damn species, I was like, no, let's not do this. But I gathered that they actually hit it. Sounds like they did well.
Guy, better than I anticipated. I thought it'd be about a 3 out of 10. It was a 7 out of 10.
Wow.
Pretty good. It was entertaining. But anyways, that has nothing to do with anything. I digress. The point of the dude's story is that I was texting with J.P. Finley as I was about to watch Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
And I have for a long time felt like there are a lot of better options for Kirk Cousins than the Redskins if you want to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That might still be the case, but I promise you that the number of better options is smaller this year than last year. Because San Francisco may have been option number one. Jimmy Garoppolo is lighting it up in December. L.A. with Sean McVay would have been option number two. Jared Goff is all of a sudden now a fringe Pro Bowl type who might have a very bright future ahead of him. And you know that he and McVay like working together as they're preparing for a playoff game. That was the two best options.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about maybe Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire. He had a terrific last two-thirds of his season. There's no reason to believe necessarily that he's going to. Maybe he will. But let's assume he doesn't. That was probably the third best option. Denver, all of a sudden, is a disaster. And their problems are bigger than just quarterback as their defense ages. They are keeping a coach that might be out of a job next year.
He had to fire all of his assistants.
Exactly. The odds are right now that he may not be back. Arizona just lost their coach, Bruce Arians.
Yep.
Now, I'm with you. I don't think he would have been a great fit in Arians' offense anyway. But the point is, that's a team I think, Arizona would be good for Kirk. They don't even have a coach. What if they hire some defensive guy and the OC is someone you don't love? That's something as a player I would want to know.
Or even if they stay somewhat in-house and hire someone offensively that's going to run the same Arian system that doesn't fit Kirk Cousins.
Correct. It's downfield, downfield, downfield. Yeah.
So let's get to this next because I want to have more time and I want to get your thoughts, Craig. And Danny, I want you to expound upon this. But it was kind of revealing as I was talking to JP about this because I do think there are teams I'd rather be at if I'm trying to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years than the Redskins. But is there a chance that all of a sudden, with the Redskins no longer bad and just kind of okay,
right,
that maybe they've moved ahead of the Jets or the Browns or a couple of these teams that have some turmoil right now? You're listening to Grant and Danny at Jam and Java live on 106.7 The Fan. We're back at Jam and Java in Vienna. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, 106.7 The Fan, the Grant and Danny show on the road. Joined by our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. We are an hour and a half away from Kirk Cousins joining us on stage noon to about 2 today. Audience questions, the entire reason he wanted to do this event, from the many people who are here. I got a tweet asking, hey, who did you choose to come? How did people get to come? Well, we've been talking for a few weeks about your chance to buy tickets, and all of the proceeds, every single penny from the ticket sales is going to charity, the DC Dream Center, which you can look up. They do a great job. Just youth and also adults kind of motivating them to do better, do more, and mm-hmm. strive to accomplish their goals, something that
Kirk Cousins works hard with.
So I brought this up last segment. I want to get your guys' take on it. And Danny, we can start with you. There was a time where you and I kind of went through a list of all of the potential suitors as to whether or not Kirk Cousins would have a better chance to win there. Take out your feelings on Dan Snyder, Bruce Allen. Take out some of the...
Because that, to me, I think is intrinsic to the conversation.
I do agree, and I think it's a big part of it. But if you take out the drama and the context of relationships and mm-hmm. being disrespected if you feel that way, slighted right. if you feel that way, just football, I have the best chance to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. Do the Redskins now, because they've kind of become middle of the pack, because they might be if they keep him an offseason away from 10 wins, let's say. Do they have a better chance, certainly, than Cleveland and the Jets? But are they right there with some of these other teams like Arizona, bad, Denver, bad this year, they just beat them, some of the other clubs we've been talking about for a while?
They're in the conversation, but they'd still be seated behind them for me. And I guess my reasoning is I look at recent ceilings, knowing that, hey, if we apply certain principles to our team building, it got us to a couple Super Bowls, a.k.a. Denver. It got us to the NFC title game, a.k.a. Arizona. If we do things the way that we've done them, where we find the Calais Campbells, the Patrick Petersons, the Teron Matthews, the David Johnsons, Arizona's closer or has been better than has Washington, even though Washington has been okay these last couple of years. And I think you're right. I would argue, though, and I know you and I have differed on this, I think they're close to the cap. I think they're close to this is the best they can do. And they've gotten here, and that's great. But the next step to be that two or three more wins, to be an 11-12 win team, is bigger than the gap than going from 5-8. To go from 8 to 11, I think is much, 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 much harder. They haven't mastered that yet. That's shrewd spending. That's actually ponying up the dough to help yourself and not miscalculating, whether it's a first-round wide receiver, Terrell Pryor, not being ambushed and surprised when a guy like Jordan Reed all of a sudden can't do the things that you thought he was going to do. That's all the way from top to bottom in an organization. I still don't think the Redskins have mastered that yet. It's better than it's been, and that's without a doubt. That's unequivocal. Is it good enough? No, and I don't know if they're able to take that next step. I don't know how you feel, Craig.
Yeah, I think in a weird way, this year actually helped that cause for the Redskins, because they all of a sudden bring in almost literally 100 guys to play this year. And so they wind up having these guys in their organizations. And a guy like a Capri Bibbs, who maybe you bring back, or Byron Marshall, brings you some running back depth next year that you didn't have going into this year. But can you add, I think the separator for the Redskins compared to some of these other teams, you know, the Patrick Petersons, Teron Matthews, David Johnsons, those are elite level players.
Right.
How many elite players do the Washington Redskins have? Trent Williams, for sure. Jordan Reed went healthy, but that's a major if always. And outside of that, like Ryan Kerrigan, is he that? I think he might be whatever is just below that, but he's an impact player. But on
you're
offense,
paying Josh Norman to be elite.
Yeah, Josh is close to that, but I think right now he's probably closer to Kerrigan than he is Trent, let's say. And still, that's good. It's not impact. It's not elite. It's not what's going to win you Super Bowls. So I think if you're Kirk and you're looking at it from the football perspective, you have to see, okay, how many teams that I could go to have those kind of players in-house, and then how much do I trust the front office to bring those guys in? And that's where I think the questions about the Redskins certainly come in. But you are miles ahead of the Browns, the Jets.
If I'm Cousins, the Browns are not an option.
Yes.
Like, I don't care if they come to me and
I'd retire before I went
right,
there.
Right. I'll give you $30 million a year for the next 5 years, and it's fully guaranteed.
Cool. Go draft Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that's really cute.
He doesn't have a choice.
Tell Hugh Jackson I said hello, and I hope that when he jumps into that lake, it's not as cold as everyone thinks it's going to be. I mean, that would be my response to the
Seriously.
Browns.
Right.
The Jets, I would have slightly more interest in. But I think they're kind of Barely. The Redskins of the AFC.
Right. I don't think the Jets and Browns are on the same level. I think the Jets and Redskins are close. And at that point, you just take the continuity.
Right.
And the fact that you have an offensive head coach who you have performed quite well under.
That's the other key here is Kirk talks all the time about quarterback coach relationships, and the best passers have been in the same offense for a while. The continuity of being able to carry over year in and year out. Now, the devil's advocate to saying, well, why not just sign and be with Jay Gruden forever is you could sign the long-term deal right now if you're Cousins, and Jay could be out next season.
Could.
This is the Redskins, yeah.
Incorrectly, in my opinion, but there was a lot of rumor.
Yeah.
There was a lot of speculation. He was on the hot seat this year.
100%.
So let's fast forward a year. I sign a deal. I'm Cousins. I don't have a great year and or just around me. We have injuries. We have a tough schedule. We're not that good, which has been the case here more often than not for the last 25 years. Good chance that happens. Jay's out of a job. I'm now locked in. They may either go sign someone I don't want to play with
right.
or for, or they may sign a defensive coach and we could be a bad offense for the next few seasons.
Yeah, it could absolutely be the, I mean, it's, think about your own careers. Think about your own lives, right? I've certainly asked when contract time has come, hey, what about you? I like working for you. Are you going to be here? That's a very reasonable question, by the way. I've also had the opposite, where I hope you're gone. I didn't say that, obviously, but I prefer if I'm going to stay.
Will you please give me some money, but you out.
Yeah, if I get the sense that you're not going to be there, is the new guy going to come in and want to just wipe the slate clean? That's what coach, here's usually the way it works. Normal NFL organizations, it goes like this. A GM gets to pick two coaches, and a coach gets to pick two quarterbacks. And if neither one works out, you're out the door. Sometimes it's shorter than that, right? But the Redskins, of course, don't have a general manager, which is another whole issue. But to me, ultimately, it would boil down to how can you trust security and stability? Even though they've started to demonstrate that, some of the motivations are, well, it looked awkward because Scott McLuhan wasn't at the combine. We had a few cocktails at St. Elmo's Fire, whatever the hell the steakhouse is in Indianapolis. And damn it, let's get a deal done. The illusion of stability. They've done that before, showing you Donovan McNabb, showing you this Jay Gruden extension. Now there are rumors of his firing, et cetera. I don't know how you could trust what somebody says in the room, because it may be true then, but it may not be true when the wind blows in a different direction in 3 weeks.
So here's what I would ask, though, as a counter that would go in the Redskins' favor. Go ahead and name for me a coach that you can 100% guarantee will be with your organization in 2 years. That they could have two bad years.
I would have said Bill Belichick before the ESPN.com
right, before 8 a.m. this
before
morning.
Seth Wickersham put pen to paper.
Belichick, probably. Mike Tomlin.
Marvin Lewis, because he can't lose his job.
I was going to say Marvin.
He will have a job in 14 years.
Right. So Marvin, because of some voodoo magic. Mike Tomlin, probably, but I wouldn't put it at 100. If Ben retires and things go sideways, they could move on. So if you're.
But there's still a sliding scale where is being on the warm seat going into the year or not.
Right.
And Jay, maybe unfairly, will be on a warmish seat.
But I think if you're Kirk, you might play the upside and say, if I'm do what I'm supposed to do, then Jay's going to be around because we're going to be really successful.
That's a good point.
And so I don't know if you go somewhere. Like, you could go other places and feel like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to be successful with that coach too. I'm not saying it only exists here, but I think we often get in this bubble of negativity here around this franchise, and it's not unfair based on history. It happens here more than other places, but to pretend like job security exists in just droves in other places in the NFL, that's not a thing.
How much will supporting cast and the development of guys like Josh Doctson, maybe Maurice Harris, Jamison Crowder coming off of a disappointing season, and maybe more importantly, the future of Chris Thompson, who you're expecting to get back to health, factor into this conversation? Let's get into, if we're Cousins and we're looking at the Redskins supporting cast compared to maybe some other opportunities, how it might stack up. We'll do that next. Grant and Danny, Craig Hoffman hanging out with us, 106.7 The Fan. You've actually performed here many times. These lights are kind of warm, aren't they?
They are sweaty lights. So I'm going informal now. When people start to arrive in a matter of moments, I'll put on my long sleeve shirt. The stage lights here are like the New Jersey Turnpike, Roy Rogers, keep the chicken warm lights. I'm always a schwitzy mess when I'm on stage here at Yamanyaba. I recorded my stand-up CD here. I did an hour plus, and I lost probably 15 pounds of water weight. I look like I jumped in the ocean.
We're on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Questions for Kirk streaming in, which we appreciate. People are very excited about the event.
Yes, good job, guys.
We are only an hour and 15 minutes away from the start of our exclusive sit-down with Kirk Cousins here at Jammin' Java in Vienna. Our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman is joining us. So last year, Cousins said, I got to evaluate the direction of the organization. And when we kind of poked and prodded on that and got more intel as he was on our show early in the season, what he meant was, well, I lost my two 1,000-yard receivers. I want to see what happens at the receiver position.
Right.
Terrell Pryor was signed. That was a failing kind of a debacle of a situation.
It didn't work out, you don't think?
Now, the contract itself, I still say, was a worthwhile gamble.
Me too.
One-year deal, not a big issue. That was a good risk to take. It didn't work out. Josh Doctson's season, he made a big step. He had caught 6 touchdowns. He led the team among wide receivers in that category. Still, though, if you're talking about the high, basically the trajectory moving forward and what you anticipate for him, there's no reason if your Cousins, your evaluation comes back now and says, well, I got a number one wide receiver, basically A.J. Green is my wideout 3 years from now in the form of Josh Doctson. He also said, I want to see how my relationship with Jay Gruden goes. Well, Jay Gruden needs to be my Sean McVay, my Kyle Shanahan. Uh-huh. I've never had him call plays for me for a full season. I've never really, in any offense that isn't Sean McVay's, designed all week long, seen how he goes about practice and putting plans together and scripts. So I want to see, is this a good fit for me? My question to you guys is, what do you think his evaluation told him? Do you think if you're Cousins, you feel good about the supporting cast?
I wouldn't. I mean, I got hit. If I'm him, I got hit more this year than probably the last 2 years combined. I victim of sack fumbles. Now, part of that's the offensive line completely in flux. Trent getting hurt, then Ty Nsekhe playing left guard all week, then right tackle getting drubbed, uncharacteristically the worst game of his life, etc. My skill positions got worse. Everywhere they got worse. Running back was worse. Two outside wide receivers worse. Tight end worse. Everything that I had went away. And I don't necessarily see a fix in sight because I see a front office that said, understandably, we don't want to pay either Pierre, a guy on the wrong side of 30, or DeSean Jackson, a headache that's going to command a huge amount of money. We don't want to pay either of those guys. That's fine. I don't see, as you pointed out correctly, GP, I don't see Josh Doctson ever filling either of those kind of roles. What he is kind of unique, and that's cool. He's worth keeping, he's worth developing, worth trying. But I don't have a guy on third and four that I know I'm targeting on a stop route, even the defenders draped all over his butt, like Pierre Garçon. I don't like my supporting cast, my surrounding cast, if I'm Kirk Cousins. I would need, in the first meeting, first order of business, besides knowing what Jay's future is, besides knowing how committed you are to me, dollar amounts, terms, everything else, what are you going to do? Let's never go through this again. Let's never have this season here in Washington again. Let's find a way to really improve that group that, frankly, needs dramatic improvement, Craig.
So if I'm the organization, I would go counterpoint. You still threw for 4,000 yards, and we had just a hellacious run of injuries.
Yeah.
So now, they also have to follow that up with a PowerPoint presentation of all the guys that they're going to target, why they think those guys would be good, why they think you have a reasonable reason that they would sign here. There's all of those things. They have to improve. But I do think, like, almost in a weird way, they have the bottom of the roster fine. They need to add the top guys. And so they need to decide from a monetary free agent standpoint and from a draft standpoint where they're going to invest in that supporting cast and which guys they think can help. Because I do think as a slot guy, Jamison Crowder's real good, and
he's
I think
good.
Kirk likes throwing to him. I think as a fourth receiver, Ryan Grant's fine, and Kirk
yes.
likes throwing to him. As a two, nah. As a four, great. Doctson's... I think Kirk's high on Doctson moving forward. He's always very complimentary of him. I think that they trust he's going to catch the ball, and he got better as a route runner, and they tried to get him more opportunities as the year went. He's got to convert on those opportunities. So I do think that there's a place in Kirk's heart for Josh Doctson.
I think he likes Doctson and knows the upside. I wonder, though, if I'm Cousins, do I think right now that I have like a number one on my roster?
No.
Is it important to me to have a Julio Jones and AJ Green? Because I don't know that he's going to be that.
I think he needs someone he feels like he can rely on. And I feel like when healthy, Jordan's that. But I think at this point, you can't go like, okay, well, if your solution's Jordan, like I can't, I know how hard he works. I know he's trying. But man, you can't guarantee me that I'm going to have even 12 games of Jordan Reed. I think the line is interesting because of all the injuries. I think he can probably say, you know, if that's a wash, we have good talent there. We're going to be fine moving forward as long as guys don't get hurt at an irrational rate. I think a good plan for the running game would be nice, and that could be quite helpful.
So I would love, absolutely. I want to touch on that in a second. I would love a true number one. I would.
Yeah.
But there aren't that many, and this offense has proven you don't actually have to have that to be really effective, as they were top
also
five
correct.
In yards
you
last
you
year.
You need that Garçon role. Not a Pierre Garçon type, but you need someone that on third and eight can run a 9 yard stop, and you actually feel like I can throw the ball. What you can't have is what we had one play in week 15 against Denver, where it's third and six, and Niles Paul's split out wide running a 7 yard stop against
Aqib
Talib, and you're going, that's cute.
So there's a happy medium between what they had this year and, say, again, I don't know, Atlanta's offense or, you know, Houston's offense, right, where Hopkins or Julio Jones
right.
are so incredible. I don't know that you need that to have an effective offense. Jay has proven that. Now, he operated differently in Cincinnati because he had A.J. Green. He's proven capable of getting guys open that aren't true number one superstars that beat double coverage and are just, you know, meta-human beings like they belong in the X-Men. I would like a dramatic upgrade, though, and I don't know where that's coming from unless it's external. I don't know about another draft pick high. That doesn't make as much sense to me. I don't know who's going to be able in free agency that's going to be a game changer. It's that number one superstar tier, but it's also you probably have to overpay for that second tier. This is not much of an overpaying front office, though, these days, Josh Norman notwithstanding.
Agreed. We've only really seen the Norman contract as a blow-out-the-budget proposition over the last handful of years, dating even back to Mike Shanahan,
right,
probably.
Right, but they said, let's break glass in case of emergency.
Absolutely.
Emergency happened, yeah.
That, to me, felt Dan Snydery as well. Remember, he came, he met with the higher-ups, including yep. Snyder. He didn't get to leave the building.
They
said, you are not going to leave before you sign a contract. Other than that, they have been fairly cheap, which is something if I'm Cousins, that would be interesting to me as well. Let me say I take less money. Okay, let's say I give you the hometown discount.
Which he's talked about saying, I don't want to take up so much of the cap that I can't be surrounded by good players. He said that.
Okay, so let's say he does that and he signs for $24 million a year instead of closer to 30. They've rolled money over. I mean, they have not used all of their cap in the past. They haven't gone out when they've had the money to spend on Calais Campbell or somebody like that and done it anyway. What if I take less money and then we still have several million in unused cap?
Yeah, I wouldn't be psyched. If I'm him and I make that commitment, you know, I want them to use that. You always want to have a little bit of an emergency fund to be able to sign guys mid-year. McLuhan was notorious for that. And, in 15, when they won the division, guys like Will Blackman were able to come here because they had a little bit of an emergency fund. But you better spend every dime that's not allocated to yourself, put away emergency fund. So whether that's spending a little extra on a guy like Allen Robinson, receiver from Jacksonville, coming off a torn ACL, but very, very productive, maybe you can get him at a little bit of a discount because he's coming off injury, but maybe that's your guy. You know, whether it's a running back, whether it's, a huge investment on the defensive side, making sure Zach Brown is back, if you deem that to be important. I think there's a lot of areas you can definitely spend. And also, I think having a plan for the draft, too. Like, if I'm Kirk, you have so much leverage right now, obviously outside of the tag situation, which he called there, but like, go ahead, pay me an exorbitant amount of money for 1 year again. Like, we've clearly gone through this before, but you can get every bit of information out of this organization in terms of what their plan is. And if you're the organization, you better be organized going into that meeting.
Grant and Danny, the voice of Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. Thanks for hanging with us.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated. You'll hear from some of the reporters who cover the Redskins as the day continues. We're about an hour and 5 minutes away from welcoming Kirk Cousins on stage. We're at Jam and Java. The event is completely sold out. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.